Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. This is The Big Interview, episode with Oriol Romeu. It's rare that we start one of the podcasts with a blast of etymology, but that's the mood that Oriol and I were in when we sat down in the Hotel Duvan in Winchester, breaking down words, language learning. Because remember, this Spanish man came to England when he was quite young, is now immensely articulate in what is his third language, given that he speaks Catalan and Spanish. And that made this an interesting episode. Please remember that the way he was taught in the Barça Academy was something that was pretty alien in English football at that time. Oriol had to adapt quickly to much more vertical football, much more ebb and flow football. He had to realise what the concept of winning the second ball was. He came to the realisation that I'll have fewer touches on the ball, so I have to make extra sure that those touches are good. There's a remarkable tale in here about Oriol reaching out to, that phrase is so contagious, I've even just used it despite hating it, to Xavi. What Oriol wanted to do was to improve himself, to examine how he was playing, even as a fixture under Ralf Hasenhüttl at Southampton, and he wanted to work out how he could improve little details, particularly the intensity of his concentration. So he messaged Xavi Hernandez. Listen to what Xavi said when he got back to him. There's good analysis here from Oriol, who clearly understands football way beyond his own individual role in the Southampton team. His point about why the traditional number 10 is disappearing for football, the use of wide areas, getting in behind defences, and why Oriol's regard, I guess like yours and mine, for guys like Kevin De Bruyne is so high. So look, this is part one of Oriol Romeu. There are good stories in here. He's a likeable, intelligent man. I think that you're going to love this listen. I believe so, otherwise I wouldn't promise you it. And there's his dream five-a-side in it. Who joins Dani Parejo? Who joins John Terry? Yeah, there's three players missing. And is there even a goalie? Listen in and find out. Big interview listeners, this is a happy story because I parachuted my noisy Scottish presence into the life of
Oriol Romeo out of the blue and said, hey, Maestro, is there any chance of speaking to us? And after a short period of reflection, he said, yes. And therefore, we find ourselves at the beautiful pine tables in the Hotel Duvan in Winchester, talking to a fabulous midfield organiser who split his life between Spain and Germany and England, talking to Oriol Romeo. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How is your coffee?
Lovely. Very good.
There's nothing deep about my first question, Oriol. If I asked you to identify the biggest, most impactful cultural change for you and your life about living here in England for quite some years now, compared to living in Catalonia or compared to living in Spain, across the range of possible answers, what would you go for?
I'd say the probably most important thing is getting used to the changes and getting used to adapting to a new culture as soon as you can. Moving to the UK when I was younger, language, new culture, new people, it was everything completely different. And I knew that I had to go and get everything as quick as I could. I have to say, the English people, they've always treated me amazingly and I've always felt welcome. And I think you agree with me, when once you're trying to introduce yourself into a culture and when you try to learn the language, be one more of them, they will open the arms and treat you as one more, and that's lovely.
What was the method you used to try and learn our mad, crazy language? Because as somebody, I think I would bet I speak less grammatically good Spanish than your English. Your English, I think, is superior. But I did what I always do in life. I just stumbled along, picking up things here and there, like a jumble sale with words and phrases and repeating them. What was your tactic to dominating? And also, what people listening might not know is, our language is full of tricks. Words look one way and sound something else. More or less in Spanish, words kind of sound like they look, which is a big help.
Yeah, the English is a tough language to learn, but it's a nice language. And I always love the fact of getting to speak new languages. When I moved here, my level was very little. Like, I could barely speak. And luckily enough, I moved in alongside Marta, so we were both together. We were both as lost as as we could have been at that time. And then we had lessons together. I think we pushed each other to improve and get better. And that was
competitively.
In a good way, yeah, in a good way. Have you heard of that word? Have you heard of that sentence or that phrasal verb that we were just learning? And that was good, that was great. And within a few months, we were already able to understand the gaffer, understand the players, and getting more into these dressing rooms routines.
Like chromos, like football cards. I'll swap you this word for that word, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember screw up was one. Goosebumps. Those words. That's a good one. I'll keep that one.
Goosebumps in English sounds really weird, but it exists in Spanish too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Piel de gallina, no? Yeah. It's more or less the same.
Yeah.
It's a funny word now that you say it. It is a really funny word. Let's talk about connections. We've got fantastic people, socios we call them, who've supported us throughout all our lives, which is we're on our sixth. But in fact, I think you're our sixth birthday episode. So thank you.
Oh.
And one example is Gary Harding. So when we told our socios that we had Oriol coming on, he said, I love this. As a Saints fan, I've got huge respect for Oriol. As well as being an important member of our team, he seems like a classy and considerate human being. Not bad. What has continued to impress me is his ability to win over new managers with different styles, who on first look might have thought, I don't know if he fits or he doesn't. And therefore Gary says, to my eye, Oriol seems to be incredibly tactically aware. But what does he put his success down to? And I'm not going to steal Gary's question, but in all the things we've learned about you, we have you noted down as a guy who's very driven about how to push himself to his extremes, and who's open to learning different concepts and trying to apply them to daily life. Has Gary touched on something that you recognised, and is the way that we interpret you accurate?
I like that someone that's seen me for the last, maybe Gary's seen me for the last 7 years that I've been in Southampton, thinks of me like that. I think it's a very good compliment, and that's my aim. That's my goal, to get used to what you have to do. Sometimes I need to be honest with myself that you're not a player, that the team can be molded around you. You need to get used to what the gaffer wants, what your players around you want, and then you can have the best version of yourself. So we've had managers that wanted to play a lot more with the ball. Now we have a manager that loves pressing high, loads of energy. So I knew I had to change a little bit my body, the way I was looking and thinking of football. I grew up in Barcelona, where you used to have loads of ball possession. Backwards pass would be even good, whereas now it's not. We're not playing backwards, we're always playing forward. And that's changed. But I think I've grown within that change, and I've always tried to see the positives of every little change that we've had. And football is a game that luckily has many different stories and many different good managers that see it in a different way, but they can be successful regardless. And that's the beauty of it, I think, the different approaches that can always be successful. And I always try to think, okay, this is now going to be the next challenge, but try to make the most of it.
Before we come back to you and your really intense journey to try and maximise yourself, you're very self-demanding. You're living and thriving, succeeding in a culture where, I think from my perspective, having been 20 years out of this country and 20 years in your country, the Premier League in general, if I can use that expression, because each year a coach changes, but if you conglomerate everything, 20 years ago the idea about must keep the ball, must have the ball, was not dominant here at all. And still, I don't think it's dominant. It is changing. But you've had to live in a culture whereby mistakes aren't that important if they're mistakes going forward with the ball. The idea of making a speculative pass, as long as you then win it back, or as long as there's dynamism in the media, amongst the fans, amongst a lot of British players and coaches, the very thing that you were trained to do, the very thing that you live to try and do better now, is still not the dominant factor in the football culture where you've succeeded, right?
I agree. It's still not there. It has improved or increased a lot more than even 10 years ago when I came to Chelsea. But it's still, now we have these German coaches with this German school of high pressing, high intensity, rest defense, counter attacks, and they want offensive football. They want vertical balls. They don't want possession for the fact of having possession. They just want to hurt opponents, and I like that. But to be honest, when I played with the national team on the 21s, 90s with great players, or Barca B, or even some matches with the first team, having the ball was an unnegotiable thing. You had to have the ball in order to attack. Whereas now, having the ball doesn't mean that you're going to win games. And it's a different approach, but I quite like it as well.
As much as you talked about needing to change physically, and you were talking about, you know, recently, when did the battle mentally begin about going, it's not essential to live like Busquets or Xavi or Iniesta in this culture? And from my opinion, from what we've learned in this interview series, and from what we've learned from watching continental football, there's a risk factor in Spanish football where the risk is about show for the ball in difficult circumstances. A breakthrough pass, once you've moved the other team around, needs to accept a little bit of risk. Here, the risk factor is completely different. You must have had to rewire your brain, never mind the physique or the stamina or the pressing. At first, you must have had to go, wait, Oriol, people don't think like this. How did that happen? When did that begin?
I think that's a learning process, and it all comes down to having different obstacles, difficulties, where you're thinking, I'm not feeling comfortable, what can I change, what can I do? And then changing your way of understanding the game, right? Like, this is not the way I thought I was going to play for the rest of my career. Now ball gets to the fullbacks and it doesn't come back to the middle in Spain, we'll switch the ball three or four times before we go forward, whereas now you go to one side and you go forward. And you would touch the ball probably two times less or a lot less than you would in Spain. And that's something that, okay, I'm going to touch the ball less, but at least I want to make sure that those balls that I'm touching are good ones. And I'm in good positions and I'm then getting second balls. I remember when I got Rafa Benitez at Chelsea as well, he was very demanding on the importance of second balls. And it is true, in English football, whoever wins second ball is going to have bigger chances to then attack again and get more pressure onto
with
the opponent.
If you win the second ball, maybe the opponent is a little bit more ragged, a little bit more displaced.
Out of position, and then you can go again. Second balls were never an issue in Spain. No one's thinking of second balls in Spain. And here, it's a game changer. If you win second balls, you nearly win all the games. So it's things that you've been learning throughout your career. And of course, sometimes the longer you are in a place, the more you get to see new things and understand them and see why everything's happening.
You've sparked a light bulb in my head. Let me ask you, I don't know if you watch both games, but that second ball idea, as Spain's football, irrespective of if a big team in Spain has a German or an Albanian or whatever, in the Spanish football, if we can call it that, has been the predominant force in the world, not just Europe, for the majority of my years in Spain. But we've seen such changes in culture, diet, coaching, player development in England, and also big budgets in England, that gradually over the last 3 years, something has changed. And I want to compare, based on what you said about, say, second balls. Last year when Atleti and Real Madrid couldn't compete with Chelsea, and the scorelines were still quite tight, Madrid beat Chelsea in Bernabeu, but lost 2-0. 2-0 looking like 4-0 at the Bridge. And this season, not. It feels like Madrid, for example, have just in the year, they're not suddenly 1,000 times quicker or whatever, but the concept of second balls, the concept of where to compete, and that quality of possession and strolling around doing intelligent things isn't enough. The gap seemed to have narrowed or changed over the year. If we simply take those two as a litmus test, those two games, Madrid losing here and going out of the competition in the semi-final, clearly a year ago, and now their tie isn't resolved as we speak, but going and winning there 3-1, not just because of the genius of the goals, but competing differently, I thought.
Yeah, the game was Madrid, the way they approached it, I think it was very clever. They probably learned from their mistakes and they were very solid. I saw a very solid defensive team, but also when they were moving forward, they were always that cross from Modric to Benzema, first touch in. It's something that you got to have a communication beforehand or understand each other a lot, like knowing that that's going to happen, because the way they move with this synchronization they had, the fast they were, it was real. The same first cross with Benzema and the header. I know they were great goals and he was a great finish, but you could see they were very ready to hurt him quickly and how they approached every counter-attack and everything and how they went defensively. And they have, like, we played Chelsea and they're a very good team and they got very many options up front and they can hurt you if you give them spaces and chances. But the way Madrid organised the team defensively, I think it was spot on.
Before the rest of this big interview, I'd like to tell you that our entire archive of audio and video content is now on our new YouTube channel. We've begun filming all of our interviews, and there are already loads of clips with guests, including Rio Ferdinand, Connor Cody, Brendan Rodgers, and Jamie Carragher, plus full interviews for you to watch and to share. Please do share with friends. Go to YouTube and search Graham Hunter, or click on the link in the show notes to this episode and become a subscriber. I honestly think you'll enjoy it. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With what you said about Rafa's teaching and the gap that did exist between the slightly slower, more methodical idea of La Liga football and the gap that was beginning to emerge, if you think about Barcelona-Liverpool, for example, in the 4-0, it felt like the gap was moving too big, and now maybe it's beginning to close. You've made me feel a little bit like, I don't know if in school you used to look at the back of the book or look at somebody else's homework. I've cheated a little bit because you talked about first ball and possession and whatever, and one of the most beautiful things either Martin or I have read recently is your book where you decide that there might be a way to learn a little bit more by speaking to a maestro. So Chavi, who occasionally what's up as well, and always I get back fun, and he's interesting, and recently I watched him doing a briefing for the media off the record, and it was 40 minutes of just like, it was like being in Harvard. So you got in touch with Chavi. What were you asking him? And I've read the responses because you published them.
Yeah.
Give us the detail of what he was trying to explain to you in order to aid your development. Give us the full picture.
Yeah, you see, and now that you make me these questions, his answer is probably defining the way he understood football as well. My thing was, I was feeling that I was playing good and enjoying myself, but there were a couple of actions during the game that I was giving the ball away too easily, or I was not fully on it. And then me, alongside another guy that helps me to analyse games, and
Damian,
yeah, tactically he's a very bright guy. We thought, which player can we watch in order to get you understand how you can be fully focused during 90 minutes? And then of course Xavi came to our head. He was a player that I can't remember him missing a pass or having a bad game. He was unreal. And then we went and watched some of his games. But then I thought, why don't I just ask him? Because I've got his number. I've talked to him a couple of times. He's been always very, as you said, he's been always very helpful. He's a very good guy. So I dropped him a message, asked him that question. What can I do in order to be always there, to have that consistency during all my season, game in, game out? And his answer was very clear but very honest. That he said that he hated giving balls away, even in training. He said that I would come out in training and think, I'm not going to give any ball away today. I'm going to make sure, even in rondos, even in ball possessions where you have a lot of pressure, that I was in the right position. I was making that first touch perfectly. I was always giving the pass in the right area and with the right intention. And during the games, that just followed me through, like that mindset of making sure that during the training sessions I was always very critical with myself. He even said that I was sometimes even too critical with myself, but that allowed me to be always that consistent.
So one of the things that I loved that he said was, yeah, I've been watching you, because he watches everything. Yeah. He's obsessive, but he gave you a way. I think he was trying to say to you, become, well, he talked about like it was part of his upbringing and that it was more than just about with the ball. He was obsessive about not failing, never making mistakes. Yeah. That thing about being obsessive about not making mistakes, like in life, not just in football, it's a good thing. It can be a bad thing if you give yourself too much pressure. things that are good can also be bad. But in your case, he was saying the way to concentrate more is to tell yourself every pass, every reception of the ball, is treat it like the last time I'll ever be given a football, right?
Yeah. And the fact of hating giving a ball away or hating making a mistake kept him active, kept him always on his toes, kept him always wanting to do the right thing. This style of football, this philosophy of always having the ball, mate, you have to play like that, because if you just take a simple pass or a forward pass as a one more, then you're going to make more mistakes. But always having to make the right one, receive it the right areas, put the ball in the right place and with the right intention, then it's more unlikely that you give the ball away.
So are you what Xavi would call, are you a pivotee? But by nature,
I felt more comfortable in that position, but I also love defending as well. So I'm in between those areas, and getting into the middle and trying to connect with players. When I was able to play with some great players in the middle, like in Valencia, even here in Southampton, and I'm behind them and they're the more creative ones, I just give them the ball and they can play between the lines, turn, create, put the last pass. That's where I felt most comfortable. I do the dirty work and they can do the creative one.
But I'm not a big basketball fan, and I think that football has stolen the word pivote from basketball, But my understanding of a pivote is that a really good pivote does what you've described, but also circulates the possession too. And it felt certainly when I was watching you come through that you were equipped, certainly mentally and in terms of your use of your passing, to do both. That you could, okay, not be the 10 between the lines, but a pivote is kind of like the nerve centre through which everything travels, and maybe ugly possession becomes good possession. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and probably looking at the best matches or the matches that I've enjoyed the most is the one that I touched the ball a lot. And of course I defended and I could put some tackles in and winning headers. But being able to circulate a ball, being able to touch it, to be close to it, to attack again and again, and that's when I enjoyed it.
Does it feel in those moments that not like I'm the best, but this game is mine?
Yeah.
If you're on the ball, you're like, yeah, now there. And you're thinking that. And if I draw him and then...
Yeah, you control the tempo of the game, and then you can also see if... The nicest feeling is, okay, they're coming to press us, but we're going to find an option. We're going to find solutions because we're so synchronized that we're moving in a way that we always find either, I don't know, the third man or 1-2s to get out of the pressure. And that feeling is amazing. It doesn't happen very often in this league because it gets crazy and there's so many ups and downs. Control a game for 90 minutes, it's really hard. But when that comes, it's a joyful moment.
When you say it's crazy in this league, is that the feeling that 1,000 things are happening a second instead of 500 things per second, and that people swarm you, right?
It's a bit, the atmosphere of the game makes it all chaotic, makes it all, whenever there's a guy with the ball and space in front, the crowd is asking him to go forward, to dribble, to whenever there is a chance of shooting on the goal, you have to shoot.
30,000 people shouting shoot.
So it's nice. It just, I think that's why the Premier League is a nice league to watch, because you know that it's going to be entertaining. You know there's going to be movement, ups and downs, tackles flying around, people trying to always attack, and it's, sometimes you've gone three times up and down and think, I've got no more oxygen left, but you have to go again.
You obviously feel that you live in it. It's your kingdom, so I have to be respectful. But I think sometimes you have to use a magnifying glass to see the quality. Yeah, there's lots of hurry, and there's lots of up and down. But sometimes you want to go to the opera instead of the circus.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And I'm not... Like, for example, because I was travelling, I didn't get to see Manchester City, Liverpool yesterday. And everybody says, wonderful, wonderful. When I lived and worked here, I saw fabulous football. I saw Bergkamp, I saw Schmeichel, I saw Zola, Vieira, Scholes, Giggs, etc. Now I look across and I think teams are quicker. Teams are physically in better shape. Teams need less rest. The coaching is strategically really clever. Sometimes you have to, like, sieve in California in 1890 looking for, that's mud. That's mud. Okay, there's a little speck of gold. That's what I look at.
I agree, but is that down to the players, or is that down that every team now is a lot more fitter, faster, stronger, organized, and it's hard to break them down? Because before, you could see, as you said, this Bergkamp, Pires, like, we had Thierry Henry, my memories, that I remember them. They were great, but they had loads of spaces to attack. They had they could receive between the lines, and the team would be in three lines or four lines, and they could exploit that a lot more. Now every team is well prepared. Now we analyze matches every single time, and then we see, okay, this is wrong. We need to correct it for the next one, and everything is getting tighter and tighter. That's why I think the number 10s are disappearing as well from football, because they've got no space to live in. You have to go from the wide areas, you have to go even behind. Everything, for the creative ones, it's getting harder, I have to say. For the ones that we do the dirty work, it's getting easier, because it's like Xavi says it, or Guardiola says it, to attack a deep defending team, it's a lot more difficult than be the Simeone. I know it's not easy, but in a way, no. You don't need the technique to break the down.
I understand. So often the solution will be like we saw with City, Simeone, where Reinaldo's mistake was not gigantic, but he goes for a ball he's not quite going to reach, and then his block leaves this much space between his knee and his calf when he tries to kneel down. But
Fine margins,
but the fine margin is also going to be about who has got the player, who, not in the 10 space, but 1v1. Who's got the moment of quality, a trick, a decision that's 1.5 seconds quicker than anybody else? These fine margins are still, they're about the same things as a number 10 used to do, but done much more quickly.
Much more quickly, and I think we can see the example from Grealish this season at City, that it can be creative with Villa when the teams are not that deep and the teams are going to give you more spaces. But when you go to City and you know that you're going to have to break them down, you're not facing only one defender but two and sometimes three, it's really hard. And probably, I don't know, but Kevin De Bruyne 15, 20 years ago would have been a joke of a player, and he still is right now.
Joke of a player, meaning that he would look like a Ballon d'Or winner every single week and probably score 25 goals.
Probably. That's the way I think right now, doing what he does, it deserves a lot more credit than it's. I don't like to compare areas and years, because everything is down to a moment. But it is true that I feel those creative players are partly gone, because the teams are a lot more organized right now.
We've destroyed their environment, like we're doing in the Amazon. We've just, like the wild animals, we've destroyed their
probably,
environment.
Probably, yeah.
I can't leave the idea of analysis with asking you more about Damian Estelrich. Not secrets, but again, I think in life, not just for wealthy footballers, not all of us examine ourselves. Not all of us are open to help, either hearing criticism or even asking. But if I understand correctly, you've got Damian used to be in the academy in Mallorca, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you've gone to somebody to say, like you did with Xavi, improve me, or help me think differently, or maybe it's better if you explain it instead of me.
No, yeah, you were right. And I started working with him just a couple of years ago. I was 29, and he was a friend of my agent, who is a very, my agent is like my father. And he said to me, I know this guy, he's been working with Mallorca for a long time. He is tactically, he's very good, but then he can also help you to understand a little bit more things, add new things to your game. And then I said, okay, I'll give it a try, see how it goes. And then what we do is we watch our games, every single action, see, not all of them, but see whether there's a pattern that gets repeated too often. And right, or you need to watch this, because that's not right. That's sometimes making you take the wrong decision, and I love it. I think it's one, as you said, a good thing to see whether you're doing something right or wrong, and then being able to accept that that's wrong and you need to change it. Mm. That's the next step. And then during the training sessions and during the week, you try to change the way you receive the balls or the way you watch the game, where you play in those passes. Can you play them in a different way? Can you talk to the strike and say, whenever I get in the ball in this area, I want you to make that run, because then we're going to be able to.
So people around you will be noticing that the difference since you and Damian began to discuss and analyse, because even if you're altering small habits, it affects left, right, you know, in front, yeah, the coach.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I mean, I haven't told anyone, but probably they can see different things. And then he can also see, you can look at the stats, you can look at all the number things that, okay, when you get closer to this player, you feel yourself more comfortable, or you can receive in better areas. Those details that sometimes we as players, or either we don't see, or we don't want to spend the time doing it.
Yeah, and also you don't have a lot of mental time, because it's train, travel, yeah, media, play. Yeah. Maybe see the family.
No, I agree. Having someone that can help you out on this, it's really helpful.
Like a side brain. We'll come back to one guy who thinks the same as you in a minute. This is a bit more lighthearted. We've got good sponsors who support us all the time. Thank you, Bet365. They talk about the time across all your teams: Barcelona, Chelsea, Valencia, Stuttgart, Southampton. Their challenge, if you accept it, is this: you can only pick one player from each time that this player has been part of the same squad as you across your entire career to choose your ultimate five-a-side team. So you have to have trained or played with this guy. Not all time, but Oriol Romeo all time.
At Barca, I have to choose Messi. It's the best I've seen, and I was lucky enough to play alongside him. So I will be the one.
And not in goals. He's up front, right?
We can put him anywhere. I think he'll be good anywhere.
I wrote a book about Barcelona. It became a film, Take the Ball, Pass the Ball.
Ah, yeah.
We went to Qatar to speak to Xavi, and he actually said...
I've watched it.
Oh, you watched it. So yeah. Until Azteca said, he's laughing. So we talk about Messi as the goalkeeper, and he said, he probably could be the best at that too.
No, I put him up front. Then when I went to Chelsea, we'll need a defender, so I'll choose John Terry, proper leader, great centre-back, Messi player. Next one was Valencia. I love Parejo in Valencia.
Let's hope he plays well in Bavaria tomorrow night.
Yeah. I love to see him playing in semi-finals and going forward with Villarreal. Stuttgart, I had the chance to play with a couple of players that I played yesterday, Tony Rudiger and Timo Werner. They were at Stuttgart with me. We need some speed with Messi, so we'll choose Timo Werner. Next one is Southampton. Throughout the 7 years, I think I would choose James Ward-Prowse. He's been a great player to play alongside with him. Amazing technique, one of the best, not the best, free kick takers I've ever seen. And it's a joy to watch him walking and preparing himself every single week.
This isn't a trick, but obviously what was implied in the question is that you're the manager. So you've just given yourself a really big problem.
Yeah, I know.
Who takes the free kicks? And who's telling Messi that it's not him?
The manager should be.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for accepting that responsibility.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true. Graham Hunter. And Back Page. Our music is by Beer Jacket. Who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.